So we started Kislev this past Thursday, Friday, and one of the big Hanukkah Torahs out there is that as it's getting dark and as it's getting cold at the darkest point of the year, and this year it actually works out pretty well, that it's really the darkest point of the year. The winter solstice is the 21st, and Hanukkah is right after that. That's the time that we need the most light. We need warmth. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so we light Hanukkah candles, and we increase the light over the course of the 8 days. That's just a general Hanukkah yesod. And so we've been talking about tefillah, and I can say personally, and I think maybe for a lot of people, at a certain point we sort of feel like we hit a wall, and we could talk about davening, but it doesn't always feel like it's landing. And Rav Volbi, after his Yimei HaAvel, Yimei HaSina, which I think Rabbi Brand did twice, and if you look on YU Torah, I happen to be a YU Torah fanatic, and I mean that in every sense of the word. If you search Rav Volbi or Al Ashur, there are like 8 people who have spoken about that. We'll be talking about how sometimes we're excited, sometimes we feel good, we have Yimei Ha'ava, sometimes we don't feel so good, we have Yimei Ha'sina, and the oscillations of life in general, including religious life. And right after that piece comes this piece. As you see, it's called the Shlosha Mechtavim. It's 3 letters that Rav Volbi sent to his students in response to something that they expressed. And the very first one seems to be a response to his discussion about Yimei Ha'ava and Yimei Ha'sina, that when you're not feeling so good, you're not feeling so excited, what do you do? Rav Volbi suggests something in that previous piece, which we're not going to look at today. But here he's talking about what happens when things are eino holich. They're not going. You feel like it's not working. Something's off, defunct. And Rav Volbi seems to address 3 things here that I don't think I would have associated with Rav Volbi until now. But in thinking about this piece, I think he really addresses 3 disparate things. He talks about participation trophies, talks about Black Friday, Tekufa we're in, Cyber Monday, fine, and birthdays. And I feel like those things were jumping out at me as I was learning this piece. And so let's jump in. Thank you, Tracy, for taking some pictures. He says, Yedidi Hayakar, which is a warm, sweet way of addressing your students. My dear one, Yedid, you know, my beloved, the one who's close to me. In the very beginning, he says, "Mama odani margish oskayas tzarcha ahalimut sheino holich." I feel your pain that your learning's just not going; it's not working. Kasha l'cha lizrakes b'shir. You can't really focus when you're in shir. And remember, as we've mentioned many times, Rav Volbi's addressing bnei ha-yeshiva, people who are learning any conventional yeshiva. But the lessons he's teaching don't just apply to someone in yeshiva. And so, if you're, you know, in this case, the boy's learning is not going well. He's not being successful academically, but. But you could easily substitute this for, oh, work's not going so well, or your family life's not going well, davening's not going well. So many different things where we feel like we should be succeeding, we feel like we have succeeded in the past, but it's just not going. Eino holich. There's like no better way to phrase it than just not going. And so in the second paragraph, line 5, Yididi, b'matzvim ka'ilo muchrokim mikodem levar. But when we're in this kind of setting, we got to clarify. Ketzad higiu l'kach? How do we get here? How did you get to this place? Because when you figure that out, then you'll know exactly what you need to do. You find the disease, you find the sickness, then you can find the cure. What led to this difficult situation that you're in? Think. For months you've been learning, you've been doing well. You were meticulous in your avoda, whether that's work, whether that's family, whether that's davening. You were doing a good job. Hi, Ali's and Ruzza, and you were cheerful, and you were feeling good. Things were going well, and then all of a sudden, Ka'ev, Atzvus, Choser, Sagsus, Ve'ehatzlacha, you're not feeling good, you're sad, you're not being successful anymore. How are you going to explain this to yourself? How'd you get to this point? A lot of times, you know, we're cognizant of when we're doing well, and we're cognizant of when we're not doing well, but that, like, middle point seems to not be so clear. How did I go from up here to down here? I can tell you personally, this past month has been a little bit hectic. We've had a lot of things going on. I lost my grandfather in the middle, and there was just no break, and so this Thanksgiving weekend break was actually very, very helpful. But sometimes like it's not so clear. I can't pinpoint what happened. And so if you can pinpoint, then you can fix it. If you know exactly why you're not feeling good, then you can fix that and feel good. And he says, in this context, he's going to give a suggestion. Maybe this is why you're not feeling so good. Because in middle of line 11, he says, Yigiyah salimud tofeses es kol hakokos hasikliyim shel adam. In yeshiva, in your context, learning takes a lot of energy, a lot of a person's efforts. Yigiyah hakanitza levodas Hashem tofeses es kol hakokos hanafshiyim shel adam. And just putting the effort into to enter into Avodas Hashem, to do whatever you're trying to accomplish, takes all the effort that you have. And then this is such an important line. V'im gila ha'kokos ha'chayuvim shel kol yachid. And when you're in that state, when you're in a situation where everyone's putting all their effort in, when you're in a group of people who are all trying very hard, misgalim gam gavulos yacholto. You also see the limits of what you're able to do. When you're trying your hardest, then you hit a limit. There are a lot, I work with high school students a lot, and there are some kids who you know, they're very smart. And so they can not study, and they'll get 80s, maybe a 90s on a test, and they'll be fine, and they'll coast through. But sometimes when you talk to them why they're not studying, maybe it's laziness, but a lot of times they don't put effort in, because if I put in effort and I don't succeed, then what does that say about me? I much prefer to be smart without putting any effort in, and then I know that I'll be safe. But if I do put in the effort, I try my best, and I don't hit it, that must mean that there's something wrong with me. And so when you're really putting all your effort in, it's not easy. When you're putting all of your effort in, when you're trying really, really hard and you don't succeed, that's much, much harder than just not trying so hard and doing okay. And so when a person's putting their effort in, when a person's in yeshiva, when a person's trying hard, someone's decided, I am going to daven well, someone's decided, I'm going to be a really good employee this year. I'm going to work really hard, I'm going to succeed, they're trying for a promotion, and you put all your effort in and it still doesn't work, that's very tough. And so Ravobi addresses this point of, it's not just that it's not going, but that you're trying and it's not going. Because we have times where we're feeling off, we're feeling lazy, and so fine, it doesn't succeed. But what happens when we are trying and it still doesn't work? And he says, you look around, you look at your friends, and maybe you're trying very hard, maybe everybody's trying hard. This is a really important project, this is a really important something that's going on, and everyone's trying hard, but as everyone's trying hard, everyone else's strengths are coming to light. You can see where everyone is talented, everyone's capable, and everyone's more talented and more capable than you are. And as everyone is putting an effort, as Ravobi explains in the context of the yeshiva, then your environment actually might not help you. It might not motivate you, but it might make you feel worse because you're surrounded by people who are quote-unquote better than you are. And so even though you should be a zanav la'arayot and a rosh l'shual, that you should be the tail of a lion instead of the head of a fox, and you should surround yourself with people who are better than you, to push you farther. If you want to get better in anything, you should always be around people who are better. If you want to be a better person, you surround yourself with nice people. But at the same time, when you're surrounded by people who are, in your mind, better than you, then you don't feel so good about yourself. And so Ravobi says that in line 23, at the start of the paragraph, Hain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bokeh B'Torah Natan Lecha Kol HaKokos HaDrushim Kedei Shetekavah Kelekecha B'Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you everything that you need in order to receive your portion in Torah. Tukal Levarech B'Simcha Rabbah B'Chol Bokeh. Every single morning you can make the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam She'asa Li Kol Tzarki. We say She'asa Li Kol Tzarki, we say that when we put on our shoes in the morning, that even the things that I don't necessarily need, but as a comfort that helps me out in my life, I'm putting on my shoes as I say it. But you can also not just think about your shoes, you think about your whole life, everything. I have everything I need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not leave me deficient in some area. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me every koach that I need to have. So if I'm seeing a koach that I don't have, maybe it just means that I wasn't supposed to have it. Gam begashmius, gam baruchnius. Whether that's physically, whether that's in this physical world, or whether it's spiritually. Some people daven really well. Some people learn. People have like an academic inclination, and so they'll remember Divrei Torah and they'll remember all of the Parah Torah Shirim, and you're like blown away. And some people don't. and that's okay. You have the co-host that you need to have. Kol mashet tzarech li b'kadei lamalos tafkidi be'olam, everything that I need in order to fulfill my place in this world, kol adorish li l'skus l'chalke b'torah, l'zakos l'chalke b'torah, hakol hu yisparach nasan li. God gave me everything I need in order to be zoka to my place in the world, my place in Torah, my place in the Jewish community. But you, ulam ata, yoter mimashi ata roa umarek es kokos sikhlecha, more than you're seeing your own ability, Ravobi says, ata roa kishronos kaverka, you're seeing your friend's abilities, your friend's kokos, the places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave your friend something special, something unique. You just see that you don't have it. What other people have. And he ends up saying that when you're surrounded by people like that, you're so acutely aware of it. Last night, my wife was scrolling through the Amazon something list of all the different deals. And she turned to me and she said, do you think people go on here because they need something? Or they just go on here and then they'll say, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. We're so surrounded by the things that we don't have today. And the goal of advertising is to convince you that you need that which you don't have, or what you might not have thought that you needed. Right. So Black Friday, there are a lot of beauty benefits. If anyone needed like any Amazon product, then they're all super cheap today, and so you can plan out and beat the system. But basically, Black Friday and this whole weekend, which has turned into Thanksgiving also. Thanksgiving is not a holiday anymore, and now Thanksgiving is a shopping day, and you're not supposed to spend time with your family. I think stores are opening at like 5 o'clock, which is when Thanksgiving dinner is supposed to happen. But this whole notion of, oh, I need that, I want that, when you never thought you did. I never ever thought that I needed this crazy fancy gadget, and then all of a sudden everyone's talking about it, everyone has it, and now I feel like I need it also. I don't know anyone who doesn't have a little Google Home Mini or an Amazon Echo Dot thing that they just got for free with something else that they bought, but now like everybody has one and everyone's just constantly yelling at the wall and things are happening in their houses. I do it more than most people probably. My lights are, hey, whatever. But this whole notion of you look around and you're like, I need that. And it's only $22, how can I not buy it? But I need that. When we're surrounded by people who have strengths that we don't have and people who have things that we don't have, I feel like I need it. And so particularly when you live in a community where people are successful, whether it's in tefillah and learning, whether it's professionally, and so people have cars and you feel like you need to have a certain kind of car. People have houses, you need to have that kind of houses. People have kids and you feel like you have kids. When you're surrounded by success and affluence in some capacity, then we also sometimes feel like, well, I don't have that. There must be something wrong with me. And so I'm not succeeding, not necessarily because I'm not doing a good job with what I've been given, but I'm not doing a good job because look at how everyone else is doing. And even though positive peer pressure and being in a motivated environment is healthy, there are times where it creates a downfall where people end up suffering because of it. And so Rehovi continues, and he says the last line, Batchila, it didn't bother you that there were all these things going on around you. And you move to the community and never... and everyone's doing well in this area, and you're like, it doesn't bother me. I'm doing my thing. And b'vo'ach al yeshiva ulai hayulacha demyonos fuzar malatzvachal kushonosecha. You came to yeshiva, you started out here, and you're like, yeah, I've got this idea of where I'm holding and how I'm doing. Aval yom yom reisa yosef yoser. Every single day, you see more and more kishronos shalachirim megros etzlacha. Other people's abilities and talents make you feel worse about your own. And then it just fills up. The straw breaks the camel's back. You feel like you got nothing. You've got no talents, no abilities, no success, no hope. You're just done. You're tired. You don't have any energy. You're in pain. You're sad because you're not doing well. Everyone else is succeeding and you aren't. And so a lot of times we'll think about, yeah, it's great that you just sort of jumped into the game. You it's nice that you're trying. But like in a world of encouraging people to just try, it doesn't always work. If we want to give a participation trophy, we want to tell everyone that they got first place, it doesn't actually always happen because there's this feeling of, well, if everybody else is getting a trophy for participating and everyone else is equal, then I should also be equal. And so the talents and abilities that my friend has, I should also have. The the concept of ranking people is not so nice, but in a specific area of ranking people in a basketball team, ranking people even academically, is saying, yeah, there are people who are talented in this area. That seemingly the challenge that I think people are talking about this today, the challenge of our world is not that we don't make people feel good about themselves, it's that we make people feel good about themselves everywhere. And if we just had a more diversified ranking system, we had a more diversified way of encouraging people. So in people Dr. Gardner in psychology talks about how there are eight different intelligences. And so eight different kinds of abilities that you may have. And so somebody might be academically talented, and someone might be athletically talented, but you also might have someone who's musical and artistic, and so many other areas, and we don't celebrate someone who's musically talented per se in a school environment. You have to go outside of school, and so people in school don't know that you're good. We don't necessarily celebrate someone who's very organized, but that's a tremendous talent, particularly when you hang out with people who are not so organized. But we only give A's, and we only praise people who are successful in certain areas and not in all of them. So rather than telling everyone that you're great, we're so proud of you, in something that they're not necessarily good at, they're going to look around and say, well, I'm not actually so good at this. Maybe there's something wrong with me because everyone else seems to be good at it. No, you're not supposed to be good academically. You're supposed to be more artistic. And those things don't have to align. And part of our academic challenge is to provide artistic challenges for our students who are more artistic so that they can excel in our school environments. But push comes to shove, you're not going to succeed everywhere. And so part of the reason why we sometimes feel like we're not succeeding is because we're measuring the wrong way. And that's where Volbe gets into, that you start measuring yourself not relative to where you are and relative to who you are. You start measuring yourself with a yardstick meant for your friend. The language uses is kana mida chaverka. And so you're not as tall as your friend is. You're not as strong as your friend is. It doesn't mean that you're not tall, you're not strong. It doesn't mean you're not good. It just means you're not as tall or as strong as your friend.
But isn't that how society is based off? I mean, it's a competitive society we live in. So an individual is supposed to just kind of like break free of everything that's around him.
So this is one of those funny things. Where the way to know that you're successful, the way to know that you're doing well, is to look around and say, well, how's everyone else doing? You might decide that I run a marathon. And so, well, how long is it supposed to take me to run a marathon? I could run a marathon very easily. I'll start walking today. It'll take me about the whole day. I'll walk 26 miles, and great, I ran a marathon. But we don't call that running a marathon. Running a marathon has to be done within, four or 5 hours. If you're doing a marathon less than 5 hours, people are like, okay, that was nice, but like, what have you really accomplished? Part the accomplishment of running a marathon is doing it in a set amount of time. I had a friend who was trying to convince people to run for Yachad. He's like, I ran a marathon for Yachad. He's like, well, it took me a year, and I did half and then another half, but I ran a marathon for Yachad. So you can do that, but we need structures in order to figure out where we want to be. But assuming that I'm going to be good at everything is unlikely. And so what Ravobi's getting at is not necessarily, and he's going to hit on it here, we'll focus on that in a moment. What he's hitting on is not you're good and you should be happy with where you are. He's saying, understand that your measurement is not your friend's measurement. And so even though your friend might be successful here and you might not be, doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It means that you're not supposed to be successful in area X. You're not supposed to, it's not, davening shouldn't come as easily to you as it does to someone else. Some people are just easier to tap into that. Some people will learn better. Some people will work better. Some people will parent better. Some people are just like naturally good parents. You're like, why? That's not cool. Like, why can't parenting come that easily to everyone? So people just like love changing diapers, and it doesn't. They're like, this is such a wonderful opportunity to take care of my child, and they have like a long-term vision. I tell my friends, I have friends who are accountants or dentists, and I tell them that it's an ability that I don't have. I'm not able to see how doing something that, as far as I'm concerned, is not so meaningful, like crunching numbers all day, is like not so exciting, but it's powerful and it's important because it's going to allow you to support a family, to be a functioning and productive member of society. And so being an accountant is a tremendous accomplishment, to be a good accountant in your world of being a good Jew, assuming you're still learning and davening and being part of your family. I don't have that sort of long-term ability to be able to say, I'm going to spend 8 or 10 or 12 hours every day doing something that I don't find meaningful because it will bear fruits in the long run. I get to do something meaningful all day, every day. It's very rare that I'm doing something that is not directly or almost directly meaningful in some way. And so it's just a question of where are your abilities, where are your inclinations lying? And seeing that is helpful both in finding careers and figuring out your specific cocos, but also in your own happiness of where am I supposed to be? I'm confident that I would not be so happy if I was an accountant. And I thank God I'm very happy doing this. But that's not, that doesn't mean, that means that there's an element of me that's lacking, which is okay with me. A lot of people who are in Clay Kodesh, like, sort of need that, like, kick, that excitement of what I'm doing is changing the world or changing something. What a Kodesh Baruch who specifically decided that I should be doing this, whereas some people don't need to feel like that all the time. They just need the knowledge that what they're doing is important and matters, whether it in the short term or the long term. It also means that, like, someone with that sort of vision probably exercises better than I do, because, like, I don't, like, see fruits of my exercise. It's not as exciting, and then I have to really push myself because I want that short-term knowledge that I'm making an impact. That was a little bit off-tangent. Now we know a lot about me. But back into Ravobi. We'll go in line at the very end of line 20. Dalakha, you should know. The big avoda that's laying upon you, v'hi lahakir es asher chananka barecha b'malos u'kishronos na'alim. You got to recognize what a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you. U'lahakir ki ein malchus nogas b'chaverta.
Sorry.
Left side. Line 20, now we're in line.
You're still
23.
You didn't go backwards. You went
forward. No, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
That's fine. Just repeat the.
Sorry. We forgot one line. It's super important. We're going to go backwards. Now we're going to go to line 4 on the top of the left side. Hargasha zu nikres. What's this feeling where you feel like you're not good enough? Kina. It's called jealousy. When you're looking around, I think of jealousy as, this person has that and I want it. But what about when this person has that and I feel like I'm not good enough because I don't have it? That's also, says Ravobi, that's also kinah. That's also a kind of jealousy. And so we don't often think about that. That's not the dirty, uncomfortable kind of jealousy, but there's a jealousy there. And so Ravobi wants us to be able to find our chelkecha b'Torah, our chelek in Torah. And I would think we've talked about this. If not, then we definitely should. That we say v'sein chalkeinu b'Torah secha, that God should give us our place in Torah. And you mentioned this last week, that maybe your place in Torah, and when he says Torah, it doesn't just mean, you know, written texts, but it means the world of Avodas Hashem, of bringing God into this world. And so maybe your chelek is by being like that one Jew in the office who everyone's like, Jews are impressive. Jews are very cool. Jews are smart and hardworking. And maybe your chelek in Torah is to be someone who invites people over on Shabbos. Maybe your chelek in Torah is to teach Torah. Maybe your chelek in Torah is to be a consistent attendee to Torah Shirim so that people are learning Torah. If you don't have a core group of people learning, then Shirim don't happen, even if you have people who are popping in and out. And so your job is to figure out what our chelek in Torah is, where God wants me to succeed. Whether that's because I look at my life and I have more free time and so I can do more things that might not require necessarily such tremendous ability but require focused time. Maybe I just have a specific talent. I think we've discussed this before, that I can use toward my avodas Hashem to helping the world, helping the community. And Rabbi Nachman, this is said in the name of Rabbi Nachman, although I've asked people who know Rabbi Nachman well and have not actually found the piece, but Rabbi Nachman, the start of Breslov, had an awesome quote. He said, let me make sure I get this right. Your birthday is the day that Hashem decided that the world could not go on without you. So we have a fun story about that, but I don't have to tell it right now. But if you look around the world and you say, I'm supposed to be here. God wanted me to be here, so now it's a question of figuring out what I'm going to do. But I'm not figuring out what everyone should be doing. I'm figuring out exactly what I specifically, individually, should be doing. Now we're going to jump down to line 36 on the left side. Habora Yisparach, God. Doesn't want everyone looking at the Torah in the same way. Doesn't looking at the world, looking at Judaism in the same way. And learn the same way. And understand the same things. Everyone should learn in their own way. Everyone should see their own perspective. The world looks different to every single person in the entire world because everyone's positioned differently. You can't really see the world from exactly the same way someone else does because you're not standing where they are. They would have to move over, and you'd stand in their place, but now the world looks different. It doesn't look exactly the same. It's been a couple seconds, a minute later. You'll never really see the exact same way as somebody else because the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to. He wants us to see it a little differently, maybe very similarly. Maybe we should always be standing in line looking at the same thing, but it should always be a little bit different. According to our abilities, according to everything that we have. And Revolbi ends with a story about, and we're not going to look at it inside, about Rav Naftali of Amsterdam, although Revolbi is from the Musar movement, and so he will quote Hasidim, but generally this is from Rav Naftali of Amsterdam, who was the prime student of Rav Yisrael Salanter. So this is a Musar story. We're going to change it up a little bit to a more Hasidic story, because I like the Hasidic version a little bit better. I think people relate to it a little bit more. So basically, Rav Naftali of Amsterdam and Zusha say the same thing. And Zusha says he was the younger brother of Rav Elimelech of Lijansk. Rav Elimelech was the third leader of Hasidut. Before Hasidut broke into a bunch of different sects, it was all unified under the Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech. And so Zusha spent a lot of time with his brother, and it was very clear that Zusha was not the Rebbe, and Rav Elimelech was. But Zusha said that, he says, when I get to Shemaim, I'm not worried that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to turn to me and say, "Nu, why weren't you more like your brother Elimelech?" And I'm not worried that he's going to say, "Nu, why were you more like Moshe Rabbeinu?" So she says, "I'm worried that when I get to Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to look at me and he's going to say, 'Nu, why weren't you more like Zusha?'" Revolbi doesn't want us to look around and see other people and feel like we need to be them. Revolbi wants us to be able to look at other people and say, "I see where they're filling in. Where am I supposed to be filling in? Where is my piece?" And the reason why sometimes we feel down is because we're looking at other people and measuring ourselves according to other people, as opposed to measuring ourselves according to ourselves. With that, I appreciate learning with me for the past 3 weeks. My brand, I think, is landing about now. And so I'll be back next week. But looking forward to the next time we can learn together. Thank you very, very much. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. All right.